This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Sorbet, you stay. My name is Keen.
I finally topped. I'm Erin McGathy.
Welcome to Sissy That Pod. We are at the finale of season 15. It's been, I think it's been a quick 15 weeks.
However, I think so too.
I think the season has flown by.
Yeah, it's blowing my mind that it's been 15 weeks. It makes me question my reality.
15 weeks into the year already, yeah. It was a fun finale, and even more fun episode because we don't have one amazing guest. We've got two. It's kind of a bit of a round table vibe this week. We have Amanda from The Traitors, Amanda Lovett, who's super. And then we have drag excellence in the form of Theresa May. The two of them were performing in Aberdeen together. So we lumped them in together.
And what's great about the roundtable is you have four different accents. So it's very easy to tell everyone apart.
We have Irish, Welsh, Spanish, American.
Yeah.
If people want to hang out with us more, we are putting on a table quiz in Dublin on the 6th of May. If you want to come along, it's in the Bernard Shaw. If you are a drag fan and you want to test your knowledge, we will be putting your knowledge to the test in some fun table quiz rounds, and there'll be some live drag performances as well. So come along to that. So for one last time, Erin, as your co-host, are you ready to get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. Amanda Lovett and Theresa May, thank you so much for joining us on Sissy That Pod for the finale of season 15. It's like a little round table we have going here. Theresa, obviously we know your history with this franchise, but I'm interested to know, Amanda, when did you come to the world of Drag Race? And how long have you been watching?
Oh, I've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race for, a number of years now, about four or five years. I've got twins that are 18 now and they absolutely adore it. So they got me into it. I just love watching the performances. The costumes are amazing. And every year I think it's getting, you know, harder and harder, isn't it? You know, they're all up in the game every year. So, I just love it. And of course, my first experience of sort of a drag convention was DragCon in January, which I've explained to everybody that it's just like a bubble of love. It's like being in a bubble of love. Everybody is just so happy because obviously they're just themselves there. There's no expectations of how you've got to be, or it's just lovely. So I'm going there every year now, and I recommend it to all my friends. You've got to have a day out there. You've got to go.
Because when I saw you at DragCon, you were telling me that one of your favorite queens is one of my favorite queens, which is Ginny Lemon as well. So I was so excited to hear that. Like, she's such a legend.
She's fabulous. She actually, when the Traitors was aired, Ginny was the first queen to message me. And and she said, you're such an icon, you're going to be fantastic, you've got a lovely career ahead of you. If you need any advice or anything, please just contact me. And, you know, my daughters are like this, oh my God, Ginny Lemon has just messaged you, mum, you know. So, she's amazing. She's a big friend,
She is, absolutely. And then Theresa, obviously, star of season 3 of UK, also got to chat to you a bit at DragCon 2. What's it like watching the show after you've been on it?
I've never watched it. What is it? What?
It's just a little competition show. You might not have heard of it.
You know what? At the beginning, after my season aired, it was a bit triggering to watch it because you have the experience of being there and you know when the cameras stop and when they keep recording and you know what's happening, like you know where they're coming from. I think you emphasize a little bit too much with them, and it was a bit awkward to watch, especially the UK seasons. But you end up forgetting and you're back in the fantasy again. And that's what happened to me in this season. I fully forgot I was there and I was just enjoying it as a fan because it was such a great season with such iconic queens. You end up just fangirling over them all over again.
What do you think of the massive finale for the American show and like the crazy energy in that room? Would you have liked to do something like that, or does that look wild?
It would be amazing. And like, imagine carrying something like that at the Palladium in London. It would be so good. And the thing is, I was watching it last night. And I was like, oh my gosh, like pressure normally is on if you got to do a lip sync in front of RuPaul and the judges. But Blondie Nora doing it in front of such a big audience, like it must have been so incredible because the love was, you could feel it. It was such an incredible energy there. So yeah, fingers crossed. Come on, BBC Three, get us the Maledicta finale if I ever get there.
Okay, so going into season 15, the finale, Amanda, who are you rooting for?
I did love Anitra from the beginning. Yeah, I just think that lip syncing with her was perfect all the time. I really liked her. I did like the theatrical, the costumes from Lux Noir and obviously from London. But yeah, Anitra was my favourite. Sasha Colby, I think everybody thought she'd win it from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Are you the same, Trita, or were you more of a Sasha fan?
Very interesting. I was Sasha and Mistress.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I just really, really love... I felt bad for all the queens, but sometimes... ends up happening what has to happen, and I loved the moment I saw Sasha come in and just her entrance line, just someone shouting, "Is that Sasha Colby?" and her saying, "Period." It's like she's won. Well done. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming. Yeah. It's great to see you all. And then there was something I just love queens who are great TV, and I think it's a very brave thing to do these days in Drag Race. Be honest and be a bitch if you need to, and be unapologetically you is something that, I'll tell you, we don't see enough. And I just love that Mistress was so real all the time and just gave us an incredible moment from the beginning. So I think that alone deserves, counts as 5 challenge wins. So I think she's a front runner for me. I loved her.
It is so funny that like her jovial huntiness, if I may say, so, like, was it coming from an insecure place? Because she was so solid as a queen, you know, like it wasn't salty. It was just... pure mean lovely comedy.
Literally. And I love that because you know the fans are gonna comment on it, and in fact, like, she got really, really bad hate online. Like, they kept they kept like reporting her Instagram and stuff. Like, it was bad. But it takes a lot of balls. You when you are there filming, you are thinking, oh, should I say this? Will the fans take it well? Like, it's inevitable. And I love that she was like, I'm gonna say it anyway. So
I think when you've been through so much to get where you want to be and who you want to be, then you're entitled to say it as it is, and you should be. If people can't accept that, then you don't want them in your life anyway, do you?
I don't know if you watched the reunion, which we didn't really cover on the podcast yet. I did think it was probably a bit unbecoming of Mistress just keep kicking Lucy while she was down. Like, at this point, Mistress had made the top 4. Lucy was clearly the reject. It was like, fine. And I kind of felt Mistress kind of kept coming for Lucy. And we've discussed Lucy a lot on this show. So I don't know where you guys stand on her.
I love Lucy. Okay. I love her. I feel for her a lot. They made her that delusional.
I liked the way that they treated her in the reunion. Like, I liked that they kind of upped her and stuff. I feel Mistress's like trolling Lucy seems like the subtext of it is her wanting Lucy to not care anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she's gonna keep on pushing that button.
That's true.
As long as
she's doing it for her own good. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that she wants magnanimous.
She wants her to let Lucy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually, something we haven't discussed really enough on the pod is Let Loose and how much of like a hit it's kind of become as the season has aired. Have you guys been hearing it while you've been out doing shows?
Obsessed.
Yeah. Amanda's heard it maybe a bit too many times. I can see by your face.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
I love it. I'm never going to be late again. Gabe Walking has multiplied the speed by 10 with that song, especially the remix. It's ridiculous. I'm obsessed.
So good.
Before we get into the finale, let's touch briefly on that the reunion again. The Golden Boot Award went to Selena Estides for her traffic post look with the
Metallica
signs.
Metallica.
Yeah.
I
feel probably Selena did deserve it. I don't know if I would have chosen that look, but I kind of, if you had to choose one, I probably would have been hers. Do you agree, Teresa?
I think so. Bless her soul. But I get it. Like, there's a thing. you have a choice when you go into Drag Race. You are who you are, and you can be, everything can make sense in your little drag universe in your head, mm-hmm. or you can just go with fashion references that you know that RuPaul is going to love. That for me is the easy path. I think, again, it, being quite brave and just representing who you are, and her with the whole Chola thing, I think it was quite a moment. But yeah, especially that look, what the hell is I think I got kind of the same. Yeah, exactly.
The boot felt like a lifetime achievement award for the season.
Yeah, an aggregate just boot. Yeah, but
yeah, but I agree. Like I love, like I have such a soft spot for Selena, and I love the bringing the Chola representation. Yeah, big fan, and I loved her look in the reunion.
Yeah, I think that's
in the reunion and in the finale.
Absolutely. Maybe that's a good opportunity to segue in. So we're going to do a quick tutor boot round of the queens as they enter out into the room, because you don't really get to see them for that long, to be honest. So we probably don't have that long to discuss them. So we'll probably just pull them up. I'll do a brief description and we can say tutor boot.
Up first, we had Irene in this green moth goddess costume. What did we think?
That's a toot for
me.
Yeah, I love that designer. No one works the feathers like him. I'm obsessed.
It's a light toot for me. I think some of the other things I've seen her on Instagram look nicer than this, and I was kind of expecting like that she has her one moment to shine and show her final eleganza. I was kind of a bit disappointed by this, but it still looks good.
Next up, we had Princess Poppy. And this is an ode to Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed. For me as well. Just for her referencing is just iconic. I love it. It's obscure. I really love her. It's a toot.
It's a boot for me.
Okay, tell me more.
Go on.
I just think it's quite an easy thing to put together, really, as well. That a lot of effort hasn't gone into. I can see with. It's an iconic look, and I can see what she's going for. But the detail of it compared to a lot of the other costumes and, you know, it's a boot for me. I think it's quite easy to put together. I could put that together to go to a fancy dress, you know?
I think you should. I would love to see you in this, Amanda.
Yeah. I might actually do it.
Yeah. You should. Can I ask the panel, in the reunion when Princess Poppy said that she had quit drag, what's the story there for those not in the know?
I don't know any more than that.
I don't know anything. Like, there was a rumor before she said anything. She hasn't posted many of the looks on Instagram. Mm. And... yeah, we all know. I saw some interviews in the red carpet for the final episode, and she has joked a couple times saying, "No, this is my last drag appearance. I'm not joking." So I think she might be. I think she might be right. Yeah,
and like she appeared in that iconic Rebecca Glasscock look for the reunion that they were talking about during the season when she entered in jeans and a yellow top or whatever, and like. Nothing was really made about that either. Like, she kind of got very little airtime. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a strange sort of edit going on with her, but maybe it is her last time in drag.
I don't know if it's the makeup, but she just looks despondent.
Yeah.
Sad.
She's clocked out.
Yeah.
She's over it. I
hope she's all right.
Yeah.
She does look sad. She looks very sad, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're still giving her a boot. Yeah.
I'll give her a tear.
It looks sad. Well, guess what, bitch? You're going to be there now.
You're having a boot.
Now, Sugar gave us like this angel look, which was kind of like frosted white and gray with a like an ice blue wig with a high pony. I love this. This is one of my favorites.
It looks like a reference to, I doubt it is, but has anyone ever seen The Last Unicorn? It was a cartoon from like the late 70s, early 80s.
No.
Well, it looks like this. I found it interesting that neither her nor Spice did their little bunny hop thing. They both seemed a bit, I mean, I'm sure it is so overwhelming performing on that stage. They both seemed really nervous. I think it looks beautiful though. I'd give it a toot.
Yeah. I'd give that a toot. She's like an ice queen. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's a toot for me as well. And I do see what we were saying earlier that maybe was missing from Irene. I do see an evolution, an elevation from what she's presented on the show to here. So I think very lovely. Toot, toot, toot.
Yeah, I imagined like Sugar and Spice when they were watching the season, like sitting down with like their notebooks being like, okay, how do we level up?
Yeah.
Which I love about them. Yeah.
Amethyst was next in this kind of black and pink catsuit, which was kind of almost kind of like athleisure kind of style, with then like a mesh top.
And there was
pink,
a little reveal. Glittery. Is this like a gem in the holograms reference?
I think it probably is. Yeah, you're right.
So I'm sure River Medway would love this, but I don't. It's a boot for me.
I didn't mind it. I give it a toot.
I like it, just not for the finale. I don't know. There's something. I get it, but yeah, not.
With the finale runway looks, because they're not having to lip sync, I want them to be really elaborate.
Yeah. And uncomfortable, I agree.
Yeah, but exactly, and uncomfortable. But yeah, I love Amethyst. I don't know if you noticed this, like throughout the finale, anytime they cut to her, I was probably projecting, but like what I was seeing on her face was like, like I really wish I could have shown more, because I think she's such a star and she's so funny.
Very young. Like, it's exciting about this queen getting on the show so young, because there's so many years ahead of Drag Race. Like, I'm excited to see them. They'll be so iconic. They're so good this young. Like, it's incredible.
Is it a boot from you, Amanda?
It's a boot for me, not fabulous enough for the finale. You have to be fabulous in the finale, I think.
That makes sense.
I think she could have done more of a fab, you know, icon stuff. Yeah, boot for me.
That's exactly. Yeah. Anyone else feel really uncomfortable with all the talk about Robin and Amethyst's relationship and the reunion? I felt really bad for them. Like, heaven forbid you sleep with another drag queen. Like,
not allowed.
I mean, apparently. whole reality franchises have been made out of ending up on a beach with your ex. So I think it's a trope of reality TV.
Exactly.
It's going to be used. Make the most of it. Get the camera time. Tell us the full story.
Can't wait for a season of The Traitors where there's two exes in the room, you know, and they're both accusing each other of traitors. That'll be exciting.
My God. I could do a round table of mine, I think.
Too stressful.
Robin was up next, and this was a toot for me, in this sort of black and white latex gown that's off the shoulder with a sort of mermaid tail with black tulle and like a black beehive wig.
Yeah,
toot.
It looks like a marriage of My Fair Lady and like Bride of Frankenstein. Like dominatrix. There were a lot of My Fair Lady-esque looks, but yeah, I love this too. This was a definite toot from me.
Toot for me. She's carried it right through up to the wig with the diamantes there. It's definitely a toot for me.
Yeah, like every queen these days say the same thing. I do old style drag with a modern twist, and none of them actually do, but this is what that is. Like, such a classic silhouette with such an unconventional material for a gown like this, and then she's made it so classy with the hair, and she just looks beautiful head to toe. It's a toot.
I think she's the most elegant, like classically beautiful queen of the season person.
Yeah.
She's so gorgeous. But yeah, next we had Aura.
I had a problem. I don't know what it said on the fan.
Oh, drag is not a crime.
Drag is not a crime. Yeah. So Aura's wearing like this. How would you, Teresa, how would you describe this look?
A lot going on is what I would say.
It's what, like, it's sort of like a black mesh dress,
with a bodysuit under, some oversized poofy sleeves with some mesh gloves and a choker.
S&M Sunset Boulevard. I mean, it's pretty to me. It looks like a negligee / gown. I like the fan. I liked the fan moment, and I love fans in general.
Yeah, and I mean, that was the centerpiece of the look, right? Like, it's kind of hard to boot this, considering its message and what's going on in the US at the moment. So,
well, I'll boot the dress and toot the fan. Can I do that?
Yeah, there we go.
I think that's the same for me. There's just too much going on. There's no sort of, I think when you pick a lovely outfit and you have to have one sort of theme and go with that. And I think she's tried to combine too many different elements.
Yeah, it's a little anachronistic. Yeah.
So a boot on the actual outfit, but a toot on the fan.
Agreed. Jax was up next with this sort of denim kind of superhero style look.
It's nice to see that Jax is just sticking to what Jax knows.
Jax didn't want to spend more money for the finale. Jax was just going to use what they were going to use for the runway, I'd say, and stick to it.
Yeah, well, that's a common thing, because you are left with, especially if you live on the early side of the season, you are left with so many costumes that are just going to sit there and you still spend the money. So I am a fan of queens reusing their costumes for other things. In my season, I used my scene stealers for the roast, and I did something else for the final as well. So I think this has happened. I think she literally took this for the season and was like, I'm going to use it. Sadly for me, like, for a finale like this, it is not standing out. There's no sparkle. It's fierce, and I'm sure for a brunch she looked fierce, but it's a boot for me.
I'm torn between this one, because I can imagine that on a Versace runway. Look, and I know I said fabulous, but I think it is quite fabulous in its own uniqueness. I like the sort of stance of it, and you know, but yeah, the only thing is it is the finale, isn't it? So could have been a little bit more glitz, I think.
Yeah, I think it works for Jax, because Jax is that sort of Mortal Kombat inspired queen, and I think that is a kind of more elevated version of that. It does lack the shininess of a finale look, but I think it looks good. I'd give it a 2.
Yeah, I like the orange trim. I also like, I have a lot of respect for queens that stick to their brand in the finale. Yes. Like, it always makes me feel sad when finale looks look like they're like a response to the fandom.
Yes.
You know, and swing in the other direction. I'm going to, light
toot. Because I can't imagine that on a Versace sort of runway. It's got something about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Spice was up next. She was the Red Devil to Sugar's Angel. For me, in comparison, this doesn't have as much detail as Sugar's look. I still think it looks good, but it's a bit Halloween-y.
Yeah, I mean, I literally think that the fork is a Halloween store fork with some rhinestones, which I'm obsessed with. I love this look. I agree. I do think the angel one was a little bit more elaborated and a lot more interesting. But I still love this. I just love the pale skin with, I don't know, this whole
coffee. I love the makeup and wig, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's just beyond stunning. Like, it's so interesting. I love it. I give it a boot. A toot.
Okay. A Freudian boot there, baby.
I loved both of them, too. I'm a little, like, this isn't really a note, but it is funny to me that they're like, what should we do for the finale? Angel Devil? Great, let's go home. I feel like they could have like spent 15 more minutes thinking of something a little more fun and subversive. But yeah, I like it as well.
Yeah.
Amanda?
I think it's a boot from me, because it's very Halloweenish and not very original, really, is it? You know, she could have, if she wanted to do Devil, she could have made it in a different way, rather than just holding the little devil fork. And I can imagine someone just going to a nice little Halloween party dress like that. So it's a boot from me. Sorry.
This is also the first of 3 red looks in a row, because up next is also Malaysia in this sort of scarlet velvet dress that has these sort of tendrils coming up her upper chest around her neck, which I like.
This is gorgeous.
I like it, but I remember her glove look was something similar, and I remember that was done a bit better, but I still like this.
I like the Ursula-ness of it all. And this, like, Mae West Ursula. I love this. This is a very strong toot from me. Even if it looks similar to things, I think it looks great.
Definitely a toot from me because it's Ursula glam. And she's pulled it right off, isn't she, with the velvet and the feathers. And yeah, it's a toot for me.
Yeah, I agree. I love it. I think out of all the looks, this is the one I would want to wear. I'm just classic beauty. She knows what she's doing. She knows her silhouette. The feathers give that expensive touch because those are expensive. I'm upset. It's a toot.
Yeah, don't you just want to give her a hug? Like, you know, that velvet is so soft. I just want to, like, cuddle up with her. Like, she's, yeah.
It looks expensive. Like, it's going to be so soft.
And next we had Marsha.
So, like, it's red. Is it chiffon? Sort of V-shaped skirt with a almost sort of beekeeper style circular mesh.
Like racing hat, like picnic hat. It's like ballerina at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, because she has like those ballerina ribbons up her leg, sort of crisscross up her leg and stuff like that.
It's a very musical. I think it's something you would see in theater. It's a very
theatrical
look.
Absolutely.
I think it's very classic. Marsha. And I love what she's done with the makeup. The fact that she went a lot more draggy. She looked absolutely gorgeous. And this look really, really, really pulls it together for me. Sometimes a simple silhouette like this one in red, a striking color, works. And I do wonder if they gave them a color palette. Because I know they've done that in the past. And I wonder if there was something going on there and some people just ignored it, because it does seem odd that so many people came in red.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is a toot, just about a toot, I think. I do like it. It's sort of the classic ballerina sort of style dress, isn't it? I do like the shape of, as you've said, like sort of the old beekeeper hat. Because it sort of transforms it up a bit. I think if it wasn't for the hat, it could be a little bit boring.
It is a bit simple, all right. But I guess Marsha has been a bit simple all season. So this is kind of elevated for Marsha. Yeah. So it kind of works.
Yeah, it does. And with the hat, it sort of, it makes it more theatrical. So it's a toot for me.
So Selena is celebrating her quinceañera in her finale look with this big, garishly over-the-top, in the best way, pink and purple and white floral dress, which when you turn around, you can see the slice through the cake.
Yes, I think it's only slightly more heightened than actual gorgeous quinceañera dresses, in a great way, in a brilliant way. Yeah,
I think this is perfect for Selena because she obviously loves a concept in her drag and her looks. But this is when it's like, you know, was able to be executed properly. And I'm really glad she had this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
This is high camp. I would see this in Panto in the UK. And I mean that as the best compliment. I love this. It's so iconic. And again, quinceañera repping for her culture. And just when she turned around and there was the cut on the slice of the cake, like I want her sitting on a shelf in my house. I'm obsessed.
Yes.
She's so quiche. I really love her. It's a toot.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You can imagine tiny little mannequins made of her, can't you? When you're having them around the house and things in this. It's absolutely the work that's gone into it. And, you know, iconic and unforgettable, isn't it? It's beautiful.
I could kind of imagine this look as a tea cozy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also love that it is literally like a princess cake. Like we've all seen those cakes, right? Yeah. Where we have the doll in the middle of the cake.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. She also, I think she seemed the most joyful throughout the entire finale. She seemed like so happy to be there, so delighted with what she was wearing. Like, I just was living for her energy throughout.
Yeah, you can tell it's a lovely vibe. And it's like the little truly scrumptious song, isn't it? It is truly scrumptious dress.
Yes. Aww.
Someone who may have dressed in response to the fans' reaction to them was Lucy.
I think so.
In this,
what do you think is the story behind this look? Because I am confused.
Yeah, I think it's like her, it feels like a slight answer to being called generic, like her coming out and she's wearing like a different silhouette than she normally wears. Like this, it's like a
Elvira sort of like, and like the beating on the chest kind of looks like a rib cage.
Yeah, and then we have the wig to brain reveal.
I think this is her sort of Dracula application. I think she's going to go.
Maybe. I could see her just literally doing that.
Yeah. To show she's versatile.
I think she looks gorgeous, but she's gone too far off her brand. Like, yeah. What is going on? I mean, I love it. It's a treat for me because I do love, like, spooky drag is my favorite drag to go see. I'm obsessed. I just like it took me when I saw the pictures on socials before the finale. I didn't realize it was her, and that's a big no-no in drag. Mm. You can go as far as your brand as you want, but you still need to be recognizable. It still needs to be in the Lucy Latuca universe. But it's a toot.
Yeah, it's a toot for me too. But yeah, it does make me feel a little sad that this feels like it's fan service for the people who don't like her versus the people who do.
Absolutely.
But I agree. I think it looks gorgeous, and I also love spooky drag. It did make for very funny cuts to her in the audience when she was really excited because she just looked so menacing with this makeup, which was funny.
Obsessed.
Yeah, I think this is telling everybody, you know, back off, isn't it? It's like, yeah. It's a toot because I do love the costume. It's just, it's a shame she sort of has portrayed that guard, that big guard, doesn't she? I think you know. I think she's sort of putting that big guard on, but you know, it's how she's feeling probably as well, isn't it? But sure, the costume itself, you know, it's very theatrical. It's a toot.
I wonder, is this inspired by her inner saboteur? I don't remember in season 10 they did like a sort of dual runway where they dress as themselves and their inner saboteur. Yeah. Like if this was kind of like, oh, this is the person who has held me back from being in the finale and I'm going to dress up as them. That's a kind of fun way of exploring it.
I love that. Or maybe this is like the villain now and Drag Race was the villain origin story.
Right. Yeah, that's fun. Villain that's era.
I'm obsessed.
Okay, on to the final four. Up next was Anitra.
I love it. It's a toot for me. I'm obsessed with it. It's just like, she's always like, it's like sort of a kimono sort of futurist moment. I don't know. It's really, it feels like it's mixing tradition with a big kimono cape and then with these pointy bits that kind of are characteristic for Anitra. I really like as well. Like, it's a toot for me.
Yeah, Anitra's brand is pointy bits.
Yeah, pointy bits.
It's very sort of, as Charitha said, it's very Japanesey with the kimono, but the very glam sort of look. And quite powerful with the points as well. She slays that. So, it's a toot for me.
Yeah, toot for me too. Like, I'd never known anyone to be so consistently glamorous and look like they could kick the shit out of you at any given time.
Yeah, it looks like a Mortal Kombat character all the time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, like I either want you to kiss me or kill me. Yeah. But whatever you're feeling is fine.
You can imagine this in a James Bond movie, can't you?
Yeah,
she's
100%.
In the James Bond, definitely.
That's a good call. Lux was next with, it was like a sort of light pink kind of showgirl look with plumage of feathers around her waist and like a pink, I think it was feathery headpiece.
Yeah. The picture isn't great, but it was kind of reminiscent of the blue fairy look a little bit in its the way it was shaped.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it's just I was astonished. I think it's beautiful. The feathers. Like, fun fact for you, I can't remember the name of the designer, but RuPaul uses this designer herself for some of her Drag Race. I think it's a very subtle reference because I know she knows, RuPaul will know, because this treatment of the feather, it's very unique to him. I love her. I think her looks have been so incredibly joyful to watch and she put so much passion into it and this really shows that. So it's a toot.
Yeah, toot for me too. I also loved when they talked to her family and how confident the mom was talking about their talent.
I generally
lineage.
Was like, where did she get it from? I was generally expecting the mom to say me. Like straight up.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Toot from you, Amanda.
Toot from me, absolutely glamorous. She's shown some fantastic outfits through the series, and and I love how much her family have supported her through her journey as well, which is fantastic. Yes, so that's a toot from me.
And a toot from me, and that brings us on to Mistress, which I think is personally my top toot of the whole cast. I absolutely love this. I have no idea how she managed to get it to shine the way it does. I've never seen anything reflect the light like this material does, in this sort of kind of salmony pink mermaid gown, which is kind of a halter neck, and then there's long gloves, and then a high sort of gingery kind of wig.
I think it's really shiny taffeta. When I was in high school, like, this fabric was used a lot in the prom dresses of the time, and I haven't seen it in a while, but it looks unreal. Her huge
looks fantastic.
Teresa, you hate this look, Teresa?
No, I love it.
No, I'm joking. No, I just knew that you'd love it.
I'm so excited about this because I love this fabric, and I've been searching for a fabric like this because it's like water effect. I think it's a taffeta. Mm. And the effect on camera is like water. I've seen it. Some queens have used it in different colors. And I've been looking and meaning to get something made like this.
She looks absolutely beautiful. She looks like Ariel's grandmother, doesn't she? You know what I mean? She's the queen of the mermaids there, isn't she? You know, absolutely. Beautiful. And the silhouette, everything just perfect. Yeah, absolute big, big toot from me on that one.
Yeah, me too. Finally then, Sasha Colby in the scarlet shining red My Fair Lady look with accompanying umbrella.
Yeah, and the metallic bodice. I mean, and you can see her ass. Like, it's just beautiful top to bottom. And the umbrella.
She's just a class act, isn't she? She is a class act. Sasha just oozes elegance, doesn't she? And I think that personifies her in one picture like that. She's just sexy, isn't she? She's just sex on legs and glamorous. And she looks absolutely beautiful, you know? So that's a toot.
Yeah, I think with Drag Race, big part of it obviously is being talented, but also a big part of it is having the maturity to make the right decisions. And Sasha has been making the right decisions from the moment she walked in to this right point right here. I think this look is just perfect, perfect, perfect for what we want to see from her and what she is. So it's an absolute toot for me. Like, I love it head to toe.
Hey, Keen here. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for supporting the show in whichever way you can, whether it's just by listening or heading over to Sissy That Pod on Instagram and, you know, chatting to us there. One way that you might want to support us that you might not have not already is to subscribe to our premium feed over at headstuffpodcast.com. Thank you to all of those who are already signed up. Currently, we are running a two-part series with the fabulous Melanie Morris, contributing editor of Image Magazine, and her and I are dissecting Drag Race Philippines, and we were really impressed with the drag queen at the helm of the franchise, Paolo Ballesteros. I think Supreme Deluxe is a beautiful soul, but sometimes I'm like, Carmen Farala looks better, do you know? So, but I'd be like, at no point did any of the queens come near to Paolo on the runway.
No, not, and wouldn't even dream to. You know, they seem to have that respect for them as well.
Also, Melanie and I loved the drag queen Turing, who was gone far too soon.
If I saw somebody doing an interpretive dance about COVID with a sequined or a studded face mask, I would normally be sniggering up my sleeve, God forgive me. But she actually stopped me in my tracks. And everything I saw her do afterwards, she's just one of nature's lovely people who takes their time and forces you to relax and take your time.
So if you want to hear more hot takes on Drag Race Philippines, head over to the workroom. You'll be supporting the show. You'll be eternally grateful. So see you over there.
This is how it's always been.
Double Love is a podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join me, Anna Carey.
And me, Karen Moynihan.
As we revisit one of the maddest series of books ever written, or ghostwritten.
If you ever read about Elizabeth and Jessica, the perfect blonde Wakefield twins, then you might enjoy listening to us absolutely tearing them to shreds. Affectionately, of course.
Of course. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of drama, kidnapping, stolen boyfriends and school dances to entertain you.
Find us on the Headstuff Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
So that's all of the queens entered. We have a little entrance from RuPaul to his own song. And then we, Eurovision style, go through the four competitors and hear their original songs. I'll do a quick description of the four songs so that we can get into them in more detail. Anitra was up first with Lotus. It was a sort of mid-tempo dubstep song, which I didn't love. Lux was next with this sort of more upbeat electro-pop song with this like sort of pulsing club beat called It's Giving Fashion, which I think is more typical of sort of like a drag song or a drag queen song crafted around a catchphrase. Mistress, similar vibe, was more electropop again with sort of EDM build before the chorus. It was called Delusion. She was dressed in latex as a nurse. It was cute. And then finally, Sasha gave us a pure deep house banger called Goddess, in which she spelt the word several times for us all. Amanda, which of these performances was your favorite?
I did like Anitra's.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I did. I think the others sort of, because they were more poppy, they were more the sort of sexy sort of dance act thing, where I think Anitra stayed more classy, so, and didn't feel the need to expose her body bits and, you know, do that sort of the dancing. So for me, I liked Anitra's, and I think she lip syncs absolutely perfectly. So I liked Anitra's, yeah.
I loved Sasha's. It's the only one, and I enjoyed all of them, but Sasha's is the only one that I went back to YouTube to try and find the performance because I wanted to watch it again. And I couldn't find it, and I went back and put the episode back again just because I wanted to watch that performance. There's something so mesmerizing to see her perform. You see the legacy that she's leaving into all her drag daughters, and you see all her mentors when she performs. Like, when she's not just herself on stage, you see a whole. I don't know. It's just like drag made perfection. I love her. And the song was just beautiful for her, and yeah, it's my favorite hands down.
Yeah, and I love how she constantly is reminding us of that she's not standing up there alone. Yeah, that's gorgeous. And am I wrong in that, like, she was the only one who actually sang on her track? Because that sounded like her.
I don't know if it did. I think they were all written by production. Okay. And it's kind of hard to know how to judge them then. Because I'm like, well, I probably listened to all, the last three songs. I might not listen to Lotus. But then maybe I shouldn't be docking Anitra points for that because she didn't write the song. So it's hard to know.
Yeah. It's a bit, I've always felt, because they did this with the season of Naomi Smalls as well, and they did with, actually, last season as well. I don't know, it's a bit odd to me because they give you the song. I don't know how much of a say the queens have on it, and it just feels a bit, hopefully people will like it, you know what I mean? Like, it feels out of your control, but...
And it's weird now to see it. It's on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever, down as Sasha Colby as the lead artist, but it's also so weird to think that her vocals aren't in it at all in some way, so it's hard to know.
I mean, I wonder, I mean, maybe I was just imagining because I want that to be true, but I thought it sounded like her. But
it did sound the most like her, I think. Yeah, to be fair.
I think they matched her voice the best.
Yeah, I think so.
Also, I loved how funny Lux's was. I love that there were like moments of like fierceness and beauty, and then like, I love the moment at the end about like fashion being pain and her turning inward. Enjoyed all that. I didn't love all the effects on Mistress's track. It didn't work for me personally.
Yeah, like I said, that there's an EDM chorus which is like dur, 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 and then it kind of just went, I'm the Lucian, and then it just kind of went back to where it was before. It kind of didn't rebuild to nothing almost.
Yeah,
but he also seemed a little disappointed with her performance. She seemed a little nervous.
And she missed a few lyrics as well, I think.
Yeah, felt bad for her.
How did you feel about Anitra's track, Erin, on performance? Because I know you were Team Anitra coming into this.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I thought it was great, but I mean, I think it was my own super high expectations for Anitra sort of working against her in my own head. I just want the finale to just be like a psycho explosion of like erratic expression, which is my own issue, I suppose. And I appreciate the references and the representation of her heritage and her story and stuff. But yeah, I guess I wanted to see the duck a bit. Like, I wouldn't have minded if she just kind of pandered a little bit, though I respect that she didn't, but I kind of wanted it.
Well, she gave us plenty later.
Yes.
I mean, Sasha coming on and, you know, them with that tail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then pulling that off. That was an iconic moment, wasn't it? It was
100%.
Just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pure
story
spectacle.
There, the braids. Yeah. Yeah. It felt like a full finished Vegas performance. Yeah.
And even in terms of, like, the songs they're given, Anitra gets to sing about the lotus, which I think was incorporated into one of her looks on the runway at some point.
Yeah.
Where Sasha just gets to be called goddess. Like, there's a clear hierarchy being set out there by production already.
You know? I would hope that there was like some collaboration there where they sat down and they were like, okay, what are you thinking roughly for what you want to do?
I know, I think, remember last season, what's her name? Paris and Mike, Angeria, she had a whole song about her track record. And it really just felt like the producers were seeing what the fans were saying about her. At the start of the season, she had a really good track record. And they were like, oh, we've written you this song. Whereas I don't imagine at any point Anitra would have been like, oh, my distinct point of view in drag is my track record in this competition, you know? So it's hard to know who is involved in this. Some other sort of side bits then. We have the Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award for Bob Mackie, who, when they started doing this, I was like, God, is he dead? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh my God, did he just pass away? I'm glad to know that everyone was like, huh?
So many iconic people have died in the past 2 years. I'm like, wait.
Yeah. God, he's looking great too. He's the cutest little dapper man I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that Bob Mackie designed all the costumes for the Carol Burnett show. Like,
yeah,
I'm a big sketch comedy writer. I love the Carol Burnett show. So that is wild that he did that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Then, now I don't know how the other non-Americans felt about this in the show.
I'm glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, so they have their little public service PSA about, you know, the issue with the drag ban, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was like, if anyone tells you who you should love, who you can't be, who to dress like, just tell them I am American. And I found that tough to watch because I was like, these problems happen all over the world, you know, like how is that advice for little queer kids in the UK or in Spain or in Ireland, you know? Yeah. So you can't say that to them. So I don't know. I thought it was a very US centric response.
Yeah, as the American in the chat, like resident expat. Yeah, that bummed me out about it. I wish it was just I am human. Like, that said, I have great empathy for my fellow Americans because we are so brought up with American exceptionalism. It's a bummer that it bleeds into queer culture. But yeah, I didn't love that, but I get it. But yeah, what did you both think?
I didn't even think about it. I was like, well, there you go, Americans being Americans, they love
it. I know, it's so embarrassing.
It's hysterical. I don't think any other country does that kind of
no.
I'm Spanish, ole ole, we love paella. I don't think that I've never seen that in Spain. It's part of the spectacle watching a show like this in America, I think, is so funny. But yeah, I agree. I think it would have been nice. lot of the international audiences as well. But the focus now it's in America when it comes to drag and the drag ban. So I was not
the sentiment was good.
Yeah,
I liked the sentiment.
Then we had a little performance of The World's Built on Drag between Leyland and the Canadian guy whose name I forget.
Orville Peck.
Orville Peck, thank you very much. And the and the Queen's Awards.
Headline with him, the Canadian guy. That's what we all think of him as, the Canadian guy.
The hot guy with a mask that I can't, his name I can't remember. And I noticed that Sugar had not learned the words to that song, which kind of annoyed me.
I love that she's keeping with her brand.
Yeah.
You know, she was just like, I can't do it. I feel like both Sugar and Spice looked terrified up there. Terrified. They looked like child brides.
I know. But on the side of that, you can do it.
I know. Just learn the words. I was really feeling for Marsha being up there. I was just imagining her internal monologue being like, God damn it, I wish I would have.
Last challenge. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Leland, great voice.
Great voice. Yeah.
Great voice.
Willowpill is up next. She comes in with these sort of like, almost like a arched trellis of like sort of pink feathers and everything. Like, it was very interesting.
I want to plant her in my garden.
Yeah.
What are y'all doing in my bathroom is such a funny entrance line
as well. Yeah, I hope she's doing okay. I'm not sure how, like, she seemed to allude to mental health struggles, and she has her health struggles as well, so I hope she's doing good. It was good to see her.
Yeah, she said grief as well. I wonder if she lost someone.
And then straight from the Wizard of Oz was Cornbread as the lion.
I liked this.
How did you find this rap, Amanda?
Oh, I don't know. Well, she looked like she did bad plastic surgery or something, didn't she? In front of her lesson. Yeah, it was fun, wasn't it? It was a good way to I think, finalise it all up, you know? So, it was fun. And I think after everything, it should be brought back down to that as well, shouldn't it? As you said, you know, because Willow, she looks like she's got the world on her shoulders as well, doesn't she? So it's nice to have... to wrap it up with a bit of fun, I think, yeah.
Yeah, Willow wasn't up there on her own as well. Do you know, she was kind of with her season 14 mate as well. Who were you rooting for, Amanda, for Miss Congeniality?
I didn't really have a favorite.
You're a traitor. You don't support Miss Congeniality. Charitza?
Well, I was hoping maybe Selena would get it. I think she was, I don't know, it was a clear choice for me. But I'm very happy who got it. Like, but yeah, I have, with these choices, I always interiorize who's going to get them. And then they say a different name and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, this other person was also for the prize. But yeah, I thought Selena was going to get it.
I think Selena was a good contender for it. I kind of felt... the way she exited in such a salty way, and she kind of had, I know Malaysia had one argument in Untucked and so did Selena. I kind of felt maybe Malaysia was going to pip it, and then when I saw Selena got the golden boot, I was like, okay, they probably won't give her both.
We'll give
Malaysia Miss New York.
I thought the cash award of $2,000 for each of them was a really funny amount for some reason. I don't know. Just make it five. Like, here's $2,000.
Here's $175.50 over the rest of the queens. Wow, thank you.
I wouldn't say no to $2,000.
No,
that's true.
No, I wouldn't stick my nose up at it.
And then straight off of Broadway, we got a performance from Jinx Monsoon. Is the song? I know the song, but I can never remember. Is it called Just Be Good to Mama or Just... Or
When You're Good to Mama.
When You're Good to Mama. Okay,
when
gotcha.
You're Good to Mama.
I didn't know Jinx had these pipes. She was so good.
She had fantastic. Yeah, I was so shocked when, you know, looking at that performance, because I didn't expect her to be able to sing like that, you know, and absolutely look the part and everything. So, yeah, and it's lovely, as she said, that doing the drag has given her her dream in life now, hasn't it? You know, it's taken her all the way where she wanted to go. And you know, that's a tribute, really. And it's good that she said that on the show, what is going on with drag at the moment as well. Because that's what people need to look at, is the bigger side of it all as well, don't they? You know, the opportunities that it does create for people as well, you know, for these queens, you know?
So I'd highly recommend her special, Jinx Monsoon, Redhead Redemption.
Okay.
It's hilarious, great cabaret comedy. Also saw her in Edinburgh. Like, she's just such a brilliant live performer. And it's so fun. And I just, her laughing makes me laugh.
I loved her. I mean, it's been Jinx's year. And it was so nice to have her there. For all of I've not been able to watch her in Chicago. It was just nice to have a little snippet of Jinx on that stage. It was gorgeous. And she said something very real that I think about every day. It's funny how drag has allowed us drag queens to do things we would have never been able to do, but we really saw for ourselves, like, well, her being on the main stage, me being a guest judge on Drag Race Spain, like these things that would not occur to us if it wasn't because of drag. And it's such a great media and such a great art form, and she's just like the epitome of drag to me at the moment. Mm-hmm. I love her.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. I do assume she wears something different when she is performing on Broadway, because I don't really see her as this sort of head jailhouse mama in that gorgeous, like, pink gown.
I assume the costume was different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the final performance between Anitra and Sasha. I don't think anyone was surprised they were the top two. They were definitely the top two fan favorites throughout the, you know, the season.
It did feel very unceremonious the way they were like, all right,
claps,
it's you two and the mistress and
mistress,
Lux are just, yeah.
off you go.
So, it's never going to make sense. And they do this in Drag Race Spain, and it's a lot more brutal. It's like, bye. Because they make them clothes. It's ridiculous. But yeah, it's always a bit sad. But yeah, I think it was the rightful top two. I love
it. You know, being the lip sync assassins of the season, good to see it culminated a battle between the two of them. The two of them lip synced the classic disco track, Amy Stewart, Knock on Wood. Sasha arrives out in this big black sort of velvety puffer trench coat, whereas Anitra is straight up just in a white bejeweled catsuit with a heart in it. Sasha goes on to reveal to like an aubergine ball gown, which she then pulls apart. Which I'm trying to work out the mechanics.
She's going to pull a knife out or something.
Yeah.
A big sword. Yeah, the scepter.
Yeah, big sword. Yeah.
Into then, it's kind of just like a bra and panties. Whereas Anitra, then the heart turns into these sort of ribbons, which was a really clever idea. Mm-hmm. Was this, Charita, in any way for you a close battle, or was there a clear winner?
There was a clear winner, I'm afraid. I think Sasha just killed it. At the beginning, I was like, oh well, there's a big outfit, there's reveals, sure, gonna happen. But the way they were made were very clever. That reveal, that second one, how it works, it's a corset and it has hoops in both sides, and there's one metal strip of hard plastic that goes in the middle that is held in it together. So when you pull that, all the hoops pull apart, and then it's when
Cool, like a pin pulling.
Yeah.
Out.
Something that gets used a lot in burlesque. It's normally on the side, the front, but normally they go like this. It's very easy, and then it all falls apart, which is a very quick
very cool
outfit. So you can tell she comes from Miss Continental. She's seen a lot of drag, and she just knew when she created herself a stage. Like at the beginning, I was like, oh well, you dropped that massive coat there, and I just loved how she used it, and it was
yes. I loved her writing at the end.
It was like her in a coach, like it was just gorgeous. And then Anitra did feel a bit underwhelming compared to, because it was just like, it was a white, beautiful version. And then the heart thing was very clever, but it felt a bit short compared to Sasha for me. But both
Amanda, more of an Anitra fan, did you think it was more of an even battle?
I was disappointed for Anitra. I love the heart, you know, the ribbons coming out was the heart. I love that. But I felt Anitra
diminished.
She was down in it. Yeah, she could see Sasha's reveals and everything. And she just knew, I think, that she wasn't up to it. Just perhaps a little bit more detail, perhaps a reveal before that. But I think Sasha did run away with it, you know.
Yeah. Great person to lose to. I mean, that's one thing is like, all those queens, I'm sure, are just like, well, yeah. Dumbledore won, of course.
they were all fighting just like the whole season to see who came second and third. So yeah. I think
perfect. What a perfect analogy. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think she was in her element there, and even like I think throughout the performances, it kind of felt. Do you remember in the X Factor, they'd get like a guest performance in to perform and you'd be like, oh yeah, this is what a real performer's like. It kind of felt like that different yeah. caliber at times. Yeah.
Well, sometimes. It was that different level, wasn't
yeah.
it? It was.
100%. Yeah. So yeah, Sasha is season 15 winner. I'm so happy to see her there. And yeah, like I think she did a good job. Thank you both for your time today. It was so great to chat to both of you in this sort of round table yeah. format. Well, let's start with you, Teresa. What do you have coming up now over the next few weeks that people can get involved if they want to go see you?
I'm releasing a new song.
Exciting.
Exclusive. I haven't said anything yet. Yeah. It's a song I've been performing, but I never thought of releasing it. It's called Cho Cho Theresa May, and it's just to teach people how to pronounce my name because British people can't pronounce it. In summer, there's a cooking show coming in Spain. So if you're from Spain, keep watching because it's going to be fun. And then, yeah, just gigging all around the UK and going to Paris as well. So just keep an eye to
Fabulous.
Exciting. And Amanda?
I've got a hack attack coming out on Channel 4 that I done with Aura. So that's sort of different secrets about each other and disclosing things. So that's coming up. And then a lot of Pride events coming up. And I've got some filming going on too. So, keep
exciting.
An eye out.
Exciting. Well, look, thank you so much for joining us here on Sister Pod. And we'll chat to you really soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Adios.
Do you have a favorite moment from the season?
I'm going to say Jax's performance from the talent show using the hair as a jump rope.
With the jump
yeah.
rope.
That okay. that was like the first moment that really blew my mind this season and kind of like tipped off like how talented the group was. And I just thought that was so incredible. So that was mine. What was yours, Kian?
My favorite moment was the Anitra Marsha lip sync, but not for the Free Willy moment. For the moment just before the final chorus where Anitra's further back on the stage and Marsha is up the front of the stage and they both do a spin and split at the same time.
Yes.
There's something about that that just gives me gay goosebumps. It's my goal in the last minute of the World Cup chills, but that was
queer rapture.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Like a lot of those people in the audience at the finale, a lot of queer rapture going on.
Yes. I was sending Kian screenshots of people in the audience reacting. It was delightful. Also weird in the audience, just Georgia Mae Jagger sitting behind the judges. Mae Jagger and
Cara Delevingne.
Yes. Georgia Mae Jagger and Cara Delevingne just sitting behind.
Just chilling, yeah. Those girls like to be where it's happening, all right. So thank you so much for being my co-host this season, Giovanni.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've had such a wonderful time. Thank you, everyone, for listening to me. Not that you had a choice if you listened to this podcast. I've had a wonderful time and I've just felt very honored being able to be in this space.
You're very welcome.
that sounded sarcastic. It wasn't. I've loved it. It's been great.
If people want to hang out with us more, we are putting on a table quiz in Dublin on the 6th of May. If you want to come along, it's in the Bernard Shaw. If you are a drag fan and you want to test your knowledge, we will be putting your knowledge to the test in some fun table quiz rounds, and there'll be some live drag performances as well. So
it'll be a huge party. Come out and find your people. Play with us on the 6th of May. No, it will be fun. There'll be prizes. There'll be live comedy.
Quizzes, drinks, fun. Other Drag Race fans, what more is there to want? So tickets are available on Eventbrite.
Questions across all of Drag Race, not just the season. So come on out. And if you're in Dublin and you're interested in comedy or improv or just meeting other comedy loving folks, mobtheaterdublin.ie. We have shows every Thursday at Wigwam and we have upcoming sketch and screenwriting and improv classes. So hope to see you there.
Absolutely. Is the discount code SISSY still live?
It is, yes. Yeah. Discount code Sissy. Yes. Exciting. Still live. Yes.
And yes, I will talk to you soon. I'll be back for All Stars 8 at some point. You'll hear more across socials at sissy.pod. But until then, see you. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.